broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Great good morning, good day to you, wherever you're listening. We've got a little rain here in Hawaii. That's where, of course, we're broadcasting from. It's going to be a partly sunny day today. That means we'll have a little bit more cloudiness. It's an odd way of describing it. Scattered showers, the high will be about 91 degrees, and the winds are still just out of the east at 15 miles an hour. I'm sure the folks in Florida would love to have that forecast. It looks like Irma is shifting just a little bit more to the Tampa side of Florida than to the Miami, Orlando side of Florida. By the time it gets up to Jacksonville, should be just a very strong tropical storm, we're hoping. But, of course, it's a strong Category 3 right now, and it's heading toward that Tampa side. But both sides of Florida, the entire peninsula, are going to feel Hurricane Irma and the effects. And all of our thoughts and our prayers are with all the people in all of those shelters and on the road. And for heaven's sake, I certainly hope some people didn't choose to stay, although I've heard there are many who've chosen to ride it out, and this is a very tough one to ride out. So our thoughts and prayers are with everyone in the Florida area and Georgia, and my son in Savannah. That's one of the places that was a mandatory evacuation starting today. And, of course, everybody's watching to see whether that would be necessary. He hasn't. I told him, Do stay in touch, you know, but I'm the last person. He's got two dogs and two cats and a whole family, and I'm not sure about bothering him with my, how are you doing? You know, moms always call at the wrong time. So I'll do that right after the show. The show today, it's going to be fabulous. We have Wes Wailahua on with us today. He's the Aloha Section PGA Executive Director. We're going to talk about the Hawaii Golf Industry Conference. We're going to talk about the importance of golf business. Of course, it's very important in the charity industry. The Friends of Hawaii Charities was also represented at the Hawaii Golf Industry Conference, as was the Hawaii Tourism Authority, and the general manager of the Four Seasons was there to represent the local hotel industry, and global golf was also discussed. So we'll talk with Wes Wailahua about that. But first, we need to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Allen Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. That's Allen Nakata, 548-7526. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, warehouse, showroom, or your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And by Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, and Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, a custom home, or townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home, Raynor Doors.
Okay, let's go straight to Wes Wailahua, Aloha Section PGA Executive Director. You can find out more about the Aloha Section at aspga.com. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, aloha, good morning.
Good.
How are you?
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Well, certainly, you did a great job. You did a fabulous job.
Thank you.
I mean, you brought everybody together. We had Ben Crenshaw at the conference. It was amazing, the work that you did. Pete Bevacqua, the CEO of the PGA of America. They were all there.
Absolutely. Every industry leader that we could think of that would impact Hawaii's game, from far, you know, our CEO of the PGA of America to players that have influenced the changes to the game, but more importantly, the industry and business leaders from all our direct markets and indirect markets that impact golf in Hawaii were there, and sharing ideas and networking and trying to create a vision towards the future, towards 2020, as we try to help continue to push the needle forward to support the game of golf and its indirect market to the communities that they sit in here in Hawaii.
We had from the Hawaii Tourism Authority, George Zavigati, and he was on to talk about the importance of the golf tournaments that we have, the PGA Tour, the LPGA, the Champions PGA Tour. We know a long time ago there were seven or eight when I started a long time ago. There was a Grand Slam of golf, right? It was played on Kauai for 10 years at Poipu Bay Golf Course. There were so many fabulous events that were played in the islands. And now we do have still the Sony Open, the Century Tournament of Champions, Mitsubishi Electric, and the LPGA Lotte Championship. It was very interesting to hear about the return on investment that the state enjoys. For every dollar that's spent, the state recoups some $30 in some cases, as much as $60 or more in other cases. And were you surprised to see that the LPGA actually brought in more money than the PGA Tour?
Well, not necessarily. I think the LPGA, when you look at their structure, may be a little bit different as far as costs. I think a lot of the mobilization of having a tour event or a Champions Tour event is significantly more expensive when you look at size of field, number of days, time of the week that it's played. As you know, the LPGA is not played during the U.S. prime time. It's played during the Asian prime time market hours during the week. So it finishes on a Saturday. So there's a lot of different components and dynamics that go into operating those events.
Yeah.
But I think when you talk to George Segetti with the HTA, a lot of it is working side by side with the tour, and that's why the Hawaii Tourism Authority has partnered with them to the tune of, I think, a little over $2 million a year as a sponsor to promote the islands, to promote the beauty of the islands, but more importantly, trying to get visitors to come here and put, in his words, heads in beds.
Yes. Well, that's true. But what I thought was interesting here, okay, the Hawaii Tourism Authority spends, let's say, $2.5 million.
Correct.
That is to promote the Sony Open, to promote the Century Tournament of Champions, the Mitsubishi Electric, the LPGA Lotte, right? So they spend this money, but what they're always looking at the ROI. All right, every bean counter in the world wants to know, what is the return on my investment? How much am I going to get back if I spend a buck? You know, what are you going to give me? So for every dollar the Hawaii Tourism Authority spends, LPGA returns to the state of Hawaii $63. And for every dollar spent the Sony Open or the, you know, the Mitsubishi Electric or the Century Tournament of Champions brings in 30-something dollars. I think it was 32, 33. You know, that's what I was surprised. I thought, wow, the LPGA, for every dollar spent to promote the LPGA that the Hawaii Tourism Authority spends, we bring in, those events bring in all that money. That's an incredible return on investment and a very exciting thing for the golf industry to be able to say, hey, the money that is spent to promote us and to, you know, we return in kind. It's not wasted capital. So that was one of the things that really opened my eyes about how powerful the LPGA Tour is here.
Absolutely. And keep in mind, those are the measurable dollars, the non-measurable dollars that impact the communities that tie to, you know, what Corbett Kalama was speaking of on behalf of Friends of Hawaii Charities. Those dollars that they raise every single year that go back into the community organizations and associations, all the nonprofits that they support, including our foundation, the Aloha Section PGA Foundation, to continue to grow our programs. I mean, that's another huge number that impacts the game. So that specific panel with Sanjeev Hugali from the Four Seasons at Ko'olina, to George Segetti with the HTA, to Corbett Kalama with Friends of Hawaii Charities, you know, that really needed to speak very loudly in volumes to all the stakeholders in the rooms about how big golf really impacts our small islands.
Yes, absolutely. And Corbett Kalama was very eloquent when he was talking as president of Friends of Hawaii Charities about all of the charity partners.
Yeah,
some
absolutely.
60 benefit, over 60 every year benefit. And the number, I think it was, you know, $70 million over the time that the Sony Open in Hawaii has happened here in the islands over 20 years. And will the Sony Open in Hawaii continue to be in Hawaii. The LPGA Lotte will be here another 3 years. That apparently was nailed down by the GM from the Four Seasons. He spoke about that very, very happily. You know that, hey, I got a call from George and he needed a favor. those are the kinds of insights that, you know, during this conference that were really, you could see that it's a working relationship, that everybody understands that to get things done, you got to work together. And with the Hawaii, you know, with the Friends of Hawaii Charities, of course, also getting their money doubled by the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation. The Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation said, hey, we're going to kick in even more money if the Sony Open in Hawaii stays in Hawaii, because there's a lot of people wanted the Lotte. A lot of people, a lot of places. It's like Bermuda took the Grand Slam away from us. We have to be willing to spend money to make this money, and we apparently make a lot of it when we do. But what I know that this is about the Aloha Section PGA, the Professional Golfers Association of America. And we were very, very lucky to have, in addition to Pete Pavakwa, who had to join us via, was that, it wasn't Skype. Skype. Was it, yeah. Skype? Was he on Skype?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you did a really good job with all of that stuff. see, Mr. Pavakwa and Mr. Crenshaw both ended up having to have a minor surgery, nothing serious, but they couldn't travel. So, Wes, you really pulled it together. How did you do that so quickly?
You know, it was an all-nighter from Wednesday. We were told 7 days out that they would not be coming, which was a little bit of a panic.
Yeah.
If it was a month, we'd be a little bit better. Then there was a lot of technology issues, and sometimes technology cannot be as friendly as we would want it to be. But fortunately, man, everything worked out. Pete was able to join us via Skype, and Ben was online with us for 45 minutes from his home in Texas. And I think everybody felt that impact as if they were there. We were grateful to have them there. Pete was fortunate enough to actually have someone stand in for him. And we had our secretary of the board of directors for the PGA of America, Jim Richardson, who is now based out of Phoenix, Arizona, with Troon. Jim used to be here in the islands for about 3 or 4 years when it was the Marriott at Ko'olina. And he was the director of golf prior to the current general manager, director Greg Nichols, that's out there. And it was good to have Jim because he really has the connection and ties and the pulse of the challenges of running a golf operation here in Hawaii. So he could speak to the people in a way, the stakeholders in a way that he understands the challenges of growing the game and maintaining the business for our communities and for the PGA professionals that have to work here every single day.
Yeah. You know, the PGA of America and the Aloha Section, and you work tirelessly. I don't know if this is Wes Wailahua, and he is the executive director of the Aloha Section PGA. He, 7 days a week, you have the most amazing wife. So I got to say, you got the most amazing wife. Just a drive chip putt. Okay, the Augusta National made that happen so that the kids from around the country can go, they can compete, and they can play at Augusta National the week before the Masters, the Sunday just before Masters Week begins. And it's an amazing place where those kids are playing. Absolutely fabulous. So drive, chip, putt, that was a creation of everybody working together. And then there's the Hawaii Junior Golf Day coming in March next year. Everybody loves it. PGA Junior League, hugely successful. There's the Aloha Section PGA Foundation, the scholarship for Hawaii's youth. Get golf ready. Play Golf America. The Hawaii State Open, the Sony Open qualifiers. All of these things that you do, in addition to all the other things that I have, you know, like the Hapuna Roundup that happened the week before this this Hawaii Golf Industry Conference, really amazing. I love listening to Jim Richardson about his understanding. Now, we heard this 30 years ago, you know, that Hawaii was going to be the center of the universe for the Asia to the West Coast connection, and that we'd become like the little Hong Kong where financial transactions, another stock exchange could be, you know, all of this was discussed in the 70s and early 80s, and it were big dreams, you know. But I think he's, you know, he needs to bring this up more, that the connection, the global aspect to golf, and the reason I think that the Lotte brings so much more money to Hawaii, the $60 versus the $30 that return on investment is because there's a huge contingent of Asian visitors who come over. They want to see those players that are playing on the LPGA Tour. They are Koreans, Japanese. They're coming over to see their players. They're dedicated. They are fans like, you know, Beatles fans. They'll do anything. They'll be there. So that was a great aspect of his leadership, because as secretary, one day he will be president of the PGA of America.
And he will be president in 2020. And, you know, working with Jim the last couple of years, and as I was discussing with everybody, my vision still is for the global impact for the islands. And I think when you look at Hawaii and you speak about the people and the fans, specifically the fans and the players that come out here and watch the ladies play on the Lotte, or they watch the Sony because they're ties to Sony Corporation, I think that's great. But what I'm looking at is the business aspect, the people that are building courses in China, the current people in Japan and in Korea that want to learn the game, that want to become professionals of the game, to teach it in a way and to share the enjoyment that we have with the PGA of America. There are some challenges. There are some traditions and legacy of the PGA and some people that believe in the traditions of the game. And I think eventually we overcome that hurdle. And you have these millennials working with boomers side by side to create a vision, similar to what's gone on with Top Golf. The chief operations officer is a millennial in his 30s, and the founder and owner is in his 60s. They took a driving range concept with wanting to party at the driving range, and you've created such a great product that engages new players in the game. And I think Hawaii can offer that in some way to Asia, whether it's an educational business component or whether it's just the enjoyment of experiencing professional golf in the surroundings of the beauty of our islands. So I think that global concept needs to be on the forefront, especially as Jim enters his presidency in 2020, and he thinks about the impact in Hawaii. And hopefully a PGA championship he'll held here.
We
can convince them.
I love that you brought that in. By the way, you know, because Wes Wailahua was asking the questions, and so that was perfect that you had the opportunity to drop it in. By the way, the chief operations officer for Top Golf was on my show a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about, they are very interested in doing a Top Golf in Hawaii, in Waikiki, on the Alawai property, you know, and they're very much into it. There's a lot of fear, and he was talking about being very understanding of the custom, the culture of the place that they put at Top Golf. And, you know, I discussed all the things about, gee, is it going to drive up the prices? Is it going to make it hard for the Kama'aina to afford to go there? You know, and they really are accommodating on so many levels on about that, doing just that, making sure that the people that are living here don't find themselves being pushed out to make
absolutely.
Way. Yeah, it would be great.
I think that would be a great concept for golf in Hawaii, and if your listeners haven't been to one, I encourage them to visit one in the mainland. We were just in Vegas a couple weeks ago for the PGA show in Vegas, and we had an event there. You know, they're outstanding facilities, and they really make it a fun, family, enjoyable environment to play the game and in a very relaxed setting. I think that'll bring a lot to the game of golf and attract more people to play, and I do think the location is ideal. If it would be successful to be at Waikiki.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun, too. And I think, you know, the visitors, I know, you know, it's so cute. We talk about growing the game and getting women into the game. We still have the women who go, you know, every time I go to a golf course, I kind of feel weird. You know, like I don't really belong. And a lot of it has to do, let's speak frank here, that, you know, guys and gals, I mean, it's just not guys, but the gals who go to golf courses on a regular basis, the regulars, they kind of feel like, hey, this is my turf, and what are you doing here? You don't know the rules. You know, and I really don't have the time to tell you about them. and, in fact, you're kind of encroaching on my territory. That's a part of life in any kind of sport, in any kind of where people get together. And I think it's changing. I think that there's more smiles. People don't recognize me. I'm just a voice on the radio. So unless I open my trap and talk, nobody knows who I am, right? So I can walk in and be quiet and walk through the pro shop, and I notice a difference. I do over the last 10 years. 15 years ago, it was like, oh gosh, I'm not welcome here. Today, I feel I'm welcome here. They don't have all the things I want. You know, I want clothes because that's what girls do. You know, we just go in. I'm telling you, at the golf conference, I talked about bar gray clothing is going to be on the show later. And I was talking with all the ladies at my table about who is going to be on the show. And they said, bar gray? They got out their phones. They started looking it up. They said, oh, look at this. Look at this. Look at the jacket. That's just what we do, okay? We like to get dressed up. So it was a fabulous Hawaii golf industry conference. It was awesome. Congratulations on a really, really, really good job. What did you get out of it? I mean, Ben Crenshaw, to me, was amazing.
You know, for me, I think it's nice to see the people that are interested in wanting to help us continue to make an impact for golf. And when I say impact, I'm not talking about really dollars or growing numbers. I'm talking about creating opportunities for the local kids like me when I was young as a junior golfer, to want to play, to have access to play some of the courses, and to have an opportunity to continue on and enjoy and learn the game. And I think, as I talked to you in the conference, we need to educate not only the kids, but the parents of a real life path of a player, whether it be they be go through the normal traditional path of becoming high school, college, and professional, or an industry executive like me that's growing the game and leading the industry, or somebody like all my staff, the girls that are in my office, from our communications manager to our special events manager to our finance manager. They all play golf. And no matter what, a player is a player for life. Whether you are highly engaged as a professional or part-time engaged as a casual golfer on the weekends, golf has brought a lot of us together, will continue to bring people together, and that's something that I want people to continue to remember, and I hope that was the message we were able to communicate at the conference.
Oh, you did. You did, and it was so good. I mean, having these conferences more often, that I need to come more often. I suppose you guys do get together more often. But seeing everybody from the neighbor islands all in one place and being, it's like, oh, my goodness, I want to say hi to this person. I want to see, you know, I'm running around looking like a crazy person trying to say hi to everybody. And it was they're all inspiring. And it's the Professional Golfers Association, all the members are wonderful people. They have huge hearts, and they just constantly give of themselves. And that's why golf lends itself so well to the charity aspect of the game, because golfers just want to share what they know about the game. They want to share their experiences and their love, and that just blends straight into charity, and it's just a wonderful game. And thank you so much, Wes Waidahua, for being on the show. It's always a pleasure talking with you. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back. Someone who has had the opportunity to talk with Gary Player, and I'm telling you, Ben Crenshaw on Skype, it's like the guy's got this charisma that you look at him and you go, he's talking to me. He's not talking to me. He's looking at a camera, but he's talking to me. And he was so wonderful. There were moments when there was glitches in the Skype, you know, those little moments and whatever, and he just kept going. And he changed the topic, and it was so on point. He talked about equipment, talked about golf course, talked about the different, you know, winning and the people and the love for the game. It was great. Now, the reason I bring all that up is Rye Waddington is executive chef for Winged Foot Golf Club. You know, Winged Foot. Okay, he is also with Golf Kitchen magazine, featured in Golf Kitchen book. And, of course, the next one coming out is Golf Kitchen America, another fabulous coffee table book that will take you right into the golf kitchens of the most amazing private, very private golf clubs that we don't get to go into. But we get to go into the kitchens, and we get to meet these wonderful people who create fabulous food for fitness, for nutrition. And you know what? Rye Waddington got to interview Gary Player, who will be inducted into the PGA of America Hall of Fame, the 2017 class, okay? And he got to interview Gary Player, and we're going to talk with Rye Waddington right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I need help. Maybe you've heard that from people who are taking care of a loved one. They don't want to go into a home. They want to stay at home, but need help taking care of a parent, a spouse, or a relative. Meal planning and prep, light housekeeping, assistance, bathing, hygiene. See, home care to give peace of mind to you and to the one you love. A few hours a week or 24/7, it's really up to you. You choose the number of hours you need. So need help? They have a plan for you, for your parents, your own retirement. Eliminate the hassles and the frustration and the unknown. Call Need Help. The number is 548-7526. Eliminate the hassle, the frustration, and the unknown. Call Need Help now at 548-7526. They're available on Maui and Oahu, of course. They're actually in all 50 states. And tell them Danielle sent you. Need Help? That number is 548-7526.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back into the clubhouse. Rye Waddington, executive chef, Wingfoot Golf Club. It's so good to have you on the show again.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. Good to talk to you. Now, as a feature writer of Golf Kitchen magazine, and you're on the cover, Rye Waddington is on the cover of the first Golf Kitchen magazine, everybody. And now he's on the show, and we're talking about Gary Player. But before we do, I mean, you are writing. What's it like? Talk to us a little bit about the difference between being a chef and being a writer.
Finding time to do it is definitely difficult. There's no doubt about that. And first feature article being Gary Player was quite a coup. So really looking forward to it. Still just working out my own writing style and just really want to highlight the game and the kitchens and more so the interaction between golfers and their diets and their nutrition and their fitness and etc.
I think that's really, I mean, you got the man. When you talk about bringing not just, you know, the recipes and making fabulous food and very nutritious ingredients, There you go, right? That's the nutrition in the recipe. It's you have the ability to go to places where the food is grown right next door in some cases.
Yeah. I think the real highlight for me after interviewing Mr. Player was he's one of the most genuine people I've ever had the chance to talk to, and very, very inspiring. And he was a real pioneer for the way golfers prepare themselves in the modern age. He was one of the first people to really have a real workout routine and be lifting weights. And obviously nutrition's been a really, really big part of his life. I think the thing that stood out the most was how giving he is, whether it's through his charitable causes or just really teaching the next generation how to look after their body. It was quite inspiring.
Now, let's talk a little bit, because we always hear about Gary Player, the guy who tells us to do push-ups, or he does 100 sit-ups in the morning, just, you know, like having a cup of coffee, he does sit-ups. So when did that fitness become important to him?
Well, from a young age, I think his father was, you know, he grew up on a farm. So I think me growing up on a farm as well, you're always out and you're always lifting things, whether it's baling hay or getting the cattle in or so forth. So you're always, working different muscles and so forth. But I think his father sort of taught him that, you know, your body is your temple, so you need to look after that. Otherwise, that's what's going to carry you through for the rest of your life.
And then it just was a natural going into golf and being, he traveled more than any other golfer in the world. And he is the only non-American to have a career Grand Slam. Gary Player has won 7 major championships. Gary Player has won 165 tournaments on 6 continents. He is a 6-time major champion on the Champions Tour. He's an amazing person. I was standing next to him on Maui for, it was the Skins game. It was at Ka'anapali. We were in this buffet place, and I just happened to bump into him. He's so solid. I mean, there was no tipping over. There was no, he was just like a tree. He was there.
Yeah. I think the other thing that I didn't realize, and he was telling me, that he's actually the only person to have won the career Grand Slam on both the regular tour and the senior tour.
There you go.
Which is, you know, that's a feat in itself. And he still travels a lot today. When I was, and he's very good judge of golf, when I actually interviewed him, he was at the British Open, and it was the Wednesday before the British Open. And, you know, one of my questions was who he thought would win it, and it was Jordan Spieth.
Oh.
He said he putts better than anybody, that's what will win him this Grand Slam, and he was right.
Wow. Were there any other thoughts he had about Jordan Spieth?
Well, I just think he's another great ambassador for the game. I think the game's in a really good position now, leading forward with Justin Thomas and the likes coming up. You know, I think golf's as good as it's ever been myself, and I feel he feels that way too. I think, you know, it's all about a balance these days too, making sure you play enough golf, but also looking after your body so you can have long careers, which is something that he had probably one of the longest careers of any golfer.
He's 81 years old. You'd never know it. He's just an amazing person. When you were quoted, or not actually quoted, it was described, it was a privilege. You actually were quoted. This is Rye Waddington, the executive chef of Wainfoot Golf Club and feature writer for Golf Kitchen magazine. He is on the cover of the fall issue, the first issue. You can subscribe to Golf Kitchen magazine, or let's say with the holidays coming up, it's what I'm doing. I have a couple of foodies that are on the East Coast and the West Coast, and it's difficult to get somebody something that they, you know, will keep on giving in their life. You know, it's instead of it just becoming another article in the house, Golf Kitchen magazine will bring you recipes, insights like this interview with Gary Player into their world all year long. So you can subscribe at golfkitchen.com, and you can, for yourself, I have one for myself, but you can give them as subscription gifts, and that's a really cool idea. I think so, at least.
Yeah.
So you're quoted to say, it was a privilege to interview Mr. Player for this feature article. His passion for health, fitness, and nutrition have pioneered the way the modern golfer prepares themselves for tour golf. Mr. Player gives us an insight into healthy eating, the importance of teaching manners, and the value of the family dinner. And when I read that, I went, wow, the value of the family dinner. Tell us what he said about that.
Well, he's still just, I think it's just the value of the family and making time to spend with your family. And for somebody like Mr. Player, who traveled as much as he did, and even now he travels as much, he was telling me how he still takes the whole family on a vacation. I think it's up to 50 people now.
Wow.
And he'll fly them to wherever they're going. They went to Thailand a year or so ago. And just that importance. And I think it rang true with me as well. I think food and sitting down at the dinner table always creates conversation. That's one of the things I love about being a chef, is you're bringing people together. And I think as a family, it's very important to have those family dinners. And even, I know everybody's time is busy these days, but whether it's once a week or twice a week, just to sit down, catch up, make sure everybody's heading in the right direction, and it's a really good way of communicating, because I think these days our lifestyles are so busy that we sort of push those sort of things aside.
Yes, and you'd be surprised. And the first kids might balk at it. You know, when they're little, you can get them to the table. That's no problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when they get older, they're starting to get into the teenage. But if you create it as a thing that we always do, it becomes a habit, a ritual, if you will, just a routine. And children love routines. So if you create a routine for them, like, okay, every Saturday evening before you go out to the movies with your friends, we're going to have a little sit-down dinner. You know, what, yeah. And then you can go. You know, that's really important. And or if you can even do it more often, of course, it's great. And we're able to do that in my home when I get home from work. Dinners, of course, are quick. You know, you'll have to do some quick meals for ladies sometime.
Yeah. I think that another thing that we sort of touched on was, you know, the importance of eating a healthy meal. And one thing that we sort of spoke about is, you know, actually whether it's eating organic or making sure we're eating our vegetables and know where our food is coming from. You know, America has one of the biggest obesity rates in the world, and I think corporate America, you know, is responsible to some extent on making sure that we start providing better food for ourselves, you know, stop putting so much corn syrup and sugar in all our different products so that, you know, we're giving our children our the future is the best chance possible to succeed.
Yes, and we've spent so much time being able to ship things from one place to another and making it so it lasts a long time when we can actually go to the local farm or buy local. We have a lot of Saturday farm markets. The farmers market gets together, whether it's at Kapiolani Community College or at some of the malls. Windward Mall does it almost every day, I think. So you can go and you can buy things that have just been grown here. Wherever you are, you'll find that. And I was fascinated. I was listening to this one gentleman who he was doing some kind of yard maintenance, and then he got into growing vegetables, and then he found that people that he was taking care of their yards for would just as soon have vegetables growing in their yards. So then they were getting vegetables that he was growing in their yards, and then for that he would also take vegetables, the leftovers, and he would sell them. And he was,
yeah.
It's a wonderful movement
And it's experience. When you go to a farm or you go to a farmer's market and you're meeting the people that are actually growing the produce, you know where it's coming from. It's the experience getting to meet them. You know, then you make friendships with them, and it's, oh, you know, have you ever tried growing this or have you done this? And, you know, it creates a great dialogue of communication and friendship.
We're talking with Rye Weddington, executive chef of Winged Foot Golf Club and feature writer for Golf Kitchen magazine. He just did an interview with Gary Player and wrote, and it'll be in the magazine, the winter issue, and Gary Player will be on the cover. Rye Weddington is on the cover of this fall issue that'll be coming soon. I'm really looking forward to it. What did Gary Player say about manners? Does he think that we've all gotten a little slovenly?
We've got a little, he's just talking about young kids these days, and, you know, when you meet somebody, you know, you shake their hand, you give them a firm handshake, and you look them in the eyes, and, you know, and manners of, you know, saying thank you and saying please. He said we've lost a lot of that, and it's up to us to sort of install that back into the young generation of how important manners are.
Well, yeah, Gary Player's the Black Knight International Golf Course Design, the Player Foundation, Gary Player Academies. He's got the Gary Player Stud Farm. I'd love to go see the thoroughbreds that he raises. They're beautiful. He loves horses. Did he talk about the Player Foundation and his promoting of education for the underprivileged?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's done a lot back in South Africa just for the children back there, and then also the foundation plays a tournament that sort of travels around the world. He actually holds one here at Glen Arbor. I think it's on October 2nd this year, which he comes to each year, and they've raised a lot of money, and, you know, it's such a great cause.
You know, and I think he inspired Tiger Woods, because Tiger Woods started his foundation, education for underprivileged in his communities,
yeah.
Right? Gary Player's inspired a lot of people. Anything that I didn't get to touch on that you think we should about your interview with Gary Player?
I don't want to give it all away, but I just think the resounding thing for me was at 80, 81 years old, it was hard to get a word in. He really he commands the room, and he's just so passionate and so positive about life that it's hard for it not to rub off on you. My wife sat in the room while we were interviewing him and just to record it and so forth, and she just walked away and she said, that was unbelievable. That was unbelievable. Like, you know, it's very inspiring just to see how much he's done for kids, for golf. He really is a world ambassador of the game.
And you're an ambassador, Rye Waddington, executive chef for Wingfoot Golf Club. I'm so excited to have met you and to know that you're a part of Golf Kitchen magazine and all that you do for the young chef in the world, you know, the people who wanted to, the James Beard Foundation, and just what you're doing to spread the word about nutrition, eating healthy, and what you said, knowing where your food comes from, so important. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's I think it's such an important thing for all chefs to be able to, I guess, pass the baton and make sure we do it in a way that we don't lose the heritage of what being a chef is, and make sure that we support our local farmers so that we can all live here and eat well and be healthy.
When the Golf Kitchen CEO Diana DeLucia came to you and said she had this idea, did you ever think that it would be like the book and then the magazine and you'd be writing?
Well, this is just going back probably 4 years now. It's been a really, I think where I first met Diana, she came and she was a photographer at a James Beard dinner that I was doing, and it's been Australian as well. We hit it off, and it's been a really fun ride. We're looking at maybe doing a dinner up at the Chef's Garden in March as well, and so that there will be fun. We're looking at another dinner that we might be doing down in Puerto Rico. So there's lots happening.
There's lots happening and lots of fun and lots of learning and lots of spreading really a good message to a lot of people. Thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate your time, Rye.
Thank you so much. We need to get Diana to make sure we can come over to Hawaii and do a dinner.
Yes, and I go, that would be so great. And I'm talking to several different private clubs about being featured in Golf Kitchen America just for that specific reason.
That'll be fine. I'll put my hand up to come.
All right. Thank you so much, Rye. Aloha.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Rye Waddington, executive chef, Wingfoot Golf Club, and feature writer for Golf Kitchen magazine. You can subscribe at golfkitchen.com. And the first fall issue, Rye will be on the cover, and I can't wait to see it. And, of course, when he talked with Gary Player about fitness and nutrition and the family meal and getting together and manners, I thought, wow, you know, that's – I can just see Mr. Player – he's just a passionate man. He's got, he's just wonderful. Great. And he will be inducted into the PGA Hall of Fame. Gary Player, Renee Powell, Mickey Wright, and Lou Worsham are the latest inductees into the PGA of America Hall of Fame. And that class of 2017 will be inducted, on November 2nd at the PGA's 101st annual meeting in Austin, Texas. All right. For all the kids who are going from, let's say, high school into college, and they've got a dream. Their dream is to become professional or to become really good at the game, to go from being a, you know, 75 and regularly doing very well in the various tournaments they enter as amateurs to becoming top amateurs. Maybe they don't want to be a professional golfer, but they want to be a top amateur golfer. Roger Nick is founder of the Junior Golf Hub, a recruiting platform of sorts, I think is the way to put it, but he'll set me straight. We'll talk with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What do the finest homes in Hawaii have in common? Many of them trusted Rainer Hawaii Overhead Doors to provide a truly unique garage door on their home. Call Rainer today and beautify your home with a striking aluminum and glass door that will make your home stand out. Or choose a custom wood design that will be only yours. You have seen our beautiful doors on your neighbors' homes. Get a Rainer door of your own. Call 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer, Hawaii.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative
Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolf.com.
For my new 30,000-foot showroom and office, I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. And it doesn't matter if your restaurant line broke at 10 a.m. or your building hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. That 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422. Or email him at clodeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive.
Wow, 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking?
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Okay, it's going to be an awesome day, right? It's not going to be too hot. Well, maybe it will be. It's going to be at 91, they say. That's going to be the ultimate high, and that could be Ko'olina, for instance. Any of our, like the Kau side of the Big Island, the south side of the islands, you'll probably get the real strong high temperatures. Volcano, it was 62 degrees this morning. That's pretty warm. Of Volcano. There's a 10:30 if you'd like to play around. Makalei has a 9:30 and a 10:48. Poipu on the beautiful Garden Isle has a 9:30 and a 10:40. And they've always got one of the best sale racks, 50% off men's and women's tops and bottoms. You go check them out. And if you need a gift for the holidays, think gift cards at Poipu Bay. At Kapolei, there is an opening, 11:52 to 12:15. Looks like a group may have canceled, so check that out. And we've got at the Raw Hawaiian Country Club a 9:40 and an 11:10. Makaha East, 9:40 to 10:40. They've got some openings in there. Wailea, thank you so much for being the major host for the Hawaii golf industry gathering, the Aloha Section PGA gathering that we just had. It was really nice, and you did a bang-up great job. Thank you so much for all the goodies, too, that we had. We had a swag bag. That was a whole lot of fun. Thanks, Anne. And Maui Nui, there is a 10:36, 11:24. Wailea Gold Course has a 9:17, a 10:29. The Emerald Course has a 9:26. And an 8:50, I think that just may be a little bit too early. All righty, let's go straight to Roger Nick, founder, Junior Golf Hub. Now, Roger, welcome into the clubhouse. Roger, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Roger.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Good, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I talked about you as having developed something called the Junior Golf Hub, and I called it a recruiting platform. Is that accurate?
I would say it's more really of a helper. A recruiting platform is a little strong in the sense of, you know, we're not really out there trying to help kids and parents kind of get recruited at schools, but we're giving them a platform to allow them to show their skills, but kind of what their interests are, so the college coaches could find them, and they can find programs that actually fit their desires, if you will.
Okay.
So,
yeah, the Junior Golf Hub has already gotten 1,000 young golfers connected with college coaches in the first 3 months of your creating it. So 800 junior golfers and 150 college golf coaches nationwide are connecting on Junior Golf Hub. Let's start off with what inspired you to create this.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely been a labor of love. For us, it's trying to find out, you know, I deal with the Junior Golf Academy as well and travel all over the country helping junior golfers and, you know, playing their best golf. And what we really found out is that we heard a lot of questions from parents of, what do we do about college golf? How do we get there? What's the best information? Where do we find the best information? Because the reality is there's an information wasteland out there of what to do, how to get recruited, you know, what schools are the best fit. So after hearing that for about 10 years, I said that we need to do something about it. So we, you know, started the Junior Golf Hub, obviously modeled it similar to LinkedIn or Facebook, trying to find a match for the players and their parents for schools and golf fit.
Interesting. So you're trying to give them a platform for them to investigate the different colleges, what kind of programs they have, and that how that would maybe match up with their academic aspirations?
You got it. That's it. Because we realize that the top 1% of junior golfers are going to find a place. The coaches are going to find them. The other 99% struggle with what's the best fit. Where should I go? Am I going to get a chance to play? But I'm looking for a good academic fit as well. Because again, we have to realize college is about going to school and getting a good education. So so we want to make sure that we're actually looking at the other 99 percentile who has an interest in golf, but really is looking for a good college fit overall.
Okay, Junior Golf Hub. This really your description of what you do that I was given by Al Abrams comes in really handy, right? He wrote, or it's written, juniors can find and follow college programs of interest on the hub. So a junior can go over to how do you register to be on the hub?
Yeah, so you want to go to www.juniorgolfhub.com. You'll see a big registration button there and register, put in your profile. If you get it to a birdie or better, you start to have more interest. Coaches will see that they have more information there for you. Very simple to sign up. Right now it is a free trial, and which will be ending pretty soon. But it's very easy to register.
So Junior Golf Hub, when you talk about birdies, it kind of put me off for a second there. Are we giving kids like, okay, you're more interesting to golf coaches than somebody else?
Yeah, so basically what that means is that you're going to get your profile at a level, hopefully at a level of interest, so coaches will really be searching for you. So you want to make sure that you have as much information about yourself, your school,
okay,
academics.
I think I understand. Okay, that's perfect, because a lot of times on LinkedIn it says you could do a better job making your profile more up-to-date.
You got it. That's exactly right. Yeah.
So what you're saying is when you have a scoring system for the young person to know that they've filled out all the information that a college coach or somebody interested in them would then be able to make a good decision based on the information they've provided.
You got it. That's exactly right.
Okay. So we're not saying that, we're not judging kids based on who they are. It's them judging. You're giving them a way to know whether they filled out the form correctly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
And so I
was wondering, do you put together juniors with coaches? I heard about one program that, if you're going to college, you're in a whole new world. You're in a different place entirely. You don't know anybody around you. Is it possible to make connections once you get to the college that you've chosen to meet more people in the industry?
Yes. Because it's going to be one of the things we're offering is for kids who are interested in playing club golf as well, who may not end up playing, for the college's competitive team. Or varsity team, I should say, but for the club team as well. So you'll also, hopefully, if you're continuing your development as a golfer, you know, you can still create a profile. Coaches could still find you if you're following them and they recognize that you may be a good fit.
Yeah, I like that. Because a lot of kids from Hawaii, I mean, we're a perfect example of being, like, way out of your comfort zone. You've gone
right.
from here. Most of our kids want to go to the West Coast because that's
right.
the closest to home.
right.
But there are
right.
some that, you know, will go to Arizona. That's kind of our climate, sort of. You know, and there are others who will actually venture to the East Coast, maybe up north. And that way they're able to find people that have the same values. You know, this
mm-hmm.
golf kind of gives you a sense of you have the same people around you. That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Junior Golf Hub, you created that, but you've also got your Golf Performance Center. You're the
mm-hmm.
operator and owner, I imagine, of the Golf Performance Center. When did you start that?
2006. So we started in 2006, and it's dedicated to, you know, full development of junior golfers and, you know, wanting to obviously improve athletically, but also, you know, from growing their golf skills.
Fabulous. And then came Junior Golf Hub. And tell us again how to register.
Yeah, you want to go to www.juniorgolfhub.com, and just you'll see a registration button. Go right on, click on the button, and create your profile.
And for now it's free. How much
for
longer is it no charge?
We have about another 4 days. yeah.
4 days, people. Okay.
Yeah, 4 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then what will it cost?
Then it'll go to $249 for the year, which is a little under $25 a month. And, you know, we've got some great features coming into the premium site. So when you're paying, a lot of content. We have a great recruiting guide for the parents to understand kind of what the process is all about. And a lot of content as far as what the players should be doing as far as their golf development, physically, mentally, you know, skill development, and how to ask questions for college coaches, whether it's a good fit for them or not, and, you know, and phone interviewing to any question that a junior could think of as far as what do you want to ask a junior or a college coach.
That's great. We have one of the most amazing people on the planet in junior golf, Mary B. Porter King, and
mm-hmm.
she created the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And over the many years that she's been working with our juniors on all the islands and creating the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions for our junior golfers, she has been the guiding force getting parents and kids into the collegiate path, showing them how to approach coaches, how to approach college groups, college programs, golfing programs, scholarship opportunities, all of these things. And she's been amazing. And so it seems like you've found a platform to do that for people around the world.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to service. We want to be able to make sure it's just easier for players, you know, from all stretches and all areas to be able to find opportunity, because, you know, that's the whole thing. Coaches can't be everywhere, so they're going to have to use something like this to, you know, find kids who are just looking for, you know, great opportunities.
Right, and the kids can find the coach and who to go
yeah,
to.
Yeah, the kids can find the coach, yeah. They can research every college program that's on the planet kids can find on our site, and they can look it up and see if it's a good fit academically, whether it's, you know, economically. And then also, you know, what the players are doing on the team. Could they play there? Does it look like they could play there? And then follow that program, and hopefully if they do well enough, and, you know, coaches will then, you know, kind of follow them back and, you know, give them an opportunity.
Yeah. And, of course, every parent says, well, how can we trust this site? And the Junior Golf Hub is an official partner of the American Junior Golf Association, AJGA. So that's a huge endorsement. How did you
Correct.
How did you get together with the AJGA?
Well, again, they are the gold standard when it comes to junior golf and tournaments and playing for that next level spot, right? I think their stats are 1 in 6 kids who you know, play on the AJGA and went on the AJGA, go on to play college golf. And, you know, we've been a sponsor with them with our Golf Performance Center for years. And it just made a lot of sense to try to educate, you know, again, as we traveled around following those AJGA tournaments with our players, you hear the same questions over. Like I said, you know, there's just a lot of questions on what do they do? What do they do next? How do they find a coach? How do they find a good fit? So for us, I mean, it was a natural partner to ask them and be a part of the AJGA and their development of young kids.
Fabulous. Okay, we've been talking with Roger Nick, founder of the Junior Golf Hub. I'd like to ask you if there's anything you'd like to add to this conversation.
I would just say thanks so much for having me, and you know, I wished I was out in Hawaii right now. Actually, in Whistling Straits, Wisconsin, having actually a little golf trip myself. But, you know, thanks for having me on today, and we look forward to seeing everyone, the parents and juniors on the Junior Golf Club.
You're at Whistling Straits, and you didn't invite us?
It's a secret. I can't tell anyone.
Roger Nick, founder of Junior Golf Hub, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. And of course, you can always find us at radiogolfclub.com. We're streaming live online, and it'll be podcast on the website as well. Our next guests, one is a professional golfer, and she wears Bar Gray. Bar Gray is this, I love it. A fabulous, I'm going to say it's fabulous. Bar Gray is a fabulous women's golf clothing line that I discovered, and I said, I wonder if it, you know, fits as well as it looks. I wonder if it will look good on me. I wonder if it will wear well. I mean, like, in if I wash it several times, will it still hold its shape? Will the colors still be there? I've found that all of those things hold up and are true, and I feel very comfortable when I'm wearing the Bar Gray line, and I really enjoy talking with Wendy Gray, the founder, co-founder of Bar Gray, and I'll be meeting, as you will be, Kayla Lawrence. She's on the Symetra Tour, and she's a Connecticut Women's Open champion. She wears Bar Gray. I want to know, you know, we're talking about going from it's mid-70s, you know, and the way they're playing on the LPGA now, you have to shoot in the 60s, mid-60s. I mean, look at the two women who are tied. Lydia Ko is back, and Lexi Thompson never went anywhere. They're tied for first in the LPGA event now, and they're shooting in the, you know, 64, 66. How do you take it to that gear that gets you, and I'm thinking because they're, you know, they're playing at a speedway right now. It's a golf course inside a speed track. It's a raceway park. It's wonderful. So how do you get to that gear where you can play it? And I'm sure there are a lot of young women who really want to play on the LPGA. They know they're good, but just how do you do that? I'm not sure that, I'm sure if Kayla had the answer, she'd be doing it. But I'm going to ask her anyway, what does it take? We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii, 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer Hawaii.
I need help. Maybe you've heard that from people who are taking care of a loved one. They don't want to go into a home. They want to stay. stay at home but need help taking care of a parent, a spouse, or a relative, meal planning and prep, light housekeeping, assistance, bathing, hygiene, the home care to give peace of mind to you and to the one you love. A few hours a week or 24/7, it's really up to you. You choose the number of hours you need. So need help? They have a plan for you, for your parents, your own retirement. Eliminate the hassles and the frustration and the unknown. Call Need Help. The number is 548-7526. Eliminate the hassles, the frustration, and the unknown. Call Need Help now at 548-7526. They're available on Maui and Oahu, of course. They're actually in all 50 states. And tell them Danielle sent you. Need Help? That number is 548-7526.
Feet up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
All right. I'm so pleased to have with us right now in the clubhouse, and it's going to be partly sunny today, scattered showers, the high between 86 and 91. The winds are out of the east, 15 miles per hour, and the last time I checked, about 90 minutes ago, that Hurricane Irma, she decided to move a little bit to the west, so not going up the eastern seaboard, so to speak, along the Florida coastline, but kind of, you know, it's big enough to affect both sides, but the powerful side of the storm will be more on the Tampa side of Florida, so the Gulf Coast, that side, rather than on the Atlantic coast. And it's going to be strong no matter which way it goes. It's going to affect a lot of people, and a lot of people are in shelters, and they're just waiting. And so as you're sitting there wondering, hoping that everything's going to be okay, just to imagine how so many of the people who are in Florida feel right now. And just send all the positive thoughts that you can send out, prayers, and for all the people in the Caribbean who have lost absolutely everything, just incredible what happened to some of the islands. There's going to be a lot of recovery. And we are so lucky that that number five number wasn't attached to Irma as it approaches Florida. We're just so lucky. And every time you say, well, we just died, you know, they made a big deal out of nothing, and, you know, we dodged a bullet, and, really, you dodged a bullet. It's not something to take lightly. It's not something to say, it's not going to happen again, and they're making a big deal out of it. We never know. It's something you need to take seriously no matter what, because you can, you know, just thumb your nose at the forecasters. They're just trying to warn you. Everybody's just trying to make you safe, and so we don't. Then afterwards, I remember a long time ago, Eva came through, right? And I spent 2 days talking to people about hurricane watches and hurricane warnings. We hadn't heard anything. It's been 35 years since Dot hit the Big Island. There was nobody talking about Eva or hurricane watches and hurricane warnings. What was that, they said? And I spent hours, days, this is what you need to do for your animals. This is what you need to do for your, you need this. And afterwards, when it really did waste the Waianae side and the windward side where I lived, the 60, 70 mile an hour winds, that's all, right? It wasn't even a category one hurricane when it finally got to the windward side, but it was so powerful. It was terrifying. I felt my whole floorboard lifting up, and it was just pounding my house. So listen to people. That's all I got to say. Let's take a break from all that intenseness. My son's in Savannah, so I got a bone in this one. A little bit more shaken than maybe you were. Wendy Gray is co-founder and designer of Bar Gray Clothing, golf clothing for women. And I have Kayla Lawrence to introduce you to, a Sumitra Tour and champion of the Connecticut Women's Open. And Kayla wears Bar Gray clothing. I do, too. I feel most comfortable on the golf course now in Bar Gray. And I want to bring Wendy in first, and, of course, Kayla's here, too. Welcome into the clubhouse, Wendy.
Hi, Danielle. Thank you for having us again.
Absolutely. When we were having a conference this past Thursday, I was sitting at a table, mostly women, and there were two guys with us. It was so great. And the ladies asked, who's going to be on the show? And I gave them kind of a lineup. And they said, oh, Bar Gray. And I said, yeah. You know, I started to describe your clothes. And they all got off their phones and went to Bar Gray, and they started looking, oh, look at this. Oh, that's nice. Oh, how does that fit? You know, and the guys are sitting there going, and we just said, clothes.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was an awesome moment where, you know, we talk about how golf is a bonding experience. Well, we all just bonded over your Bar Gray clothing line, and I want to thank you very much. It was excellent.
I love it.
Yes. And when is your, I said to them, now this is, you know, I know there's a new season. When does the new season for golf clothing come out?
Well, ours will probably hit at the next PGA show. We're moving along right now. We're in the works of some pants, more long sleeve shirts, different colors, and that kind of stuff. So probably by the next PGA show in Florida.
So that's January, right?
Yeah.
And it's already September. Are you, like, feeling it?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
What's it like when you're bringing out a new, you know, you've got a new fashion line. That's the bottom line. That's what golf clothing is now. It's a fashion industry. Right? And it's a functional fashion industry. Not only do you have to be fashion, you have to be function, and the fabric's got to be, it's got to hold up. It's got to feel right. It's got to have the sun protection involved in it. Tell us a little bit about putting all of that together.
It takes lots of samples, lots of even fabric samples, everything, trying on different people's bodies to make sure it's going to work with everybody. It is a lot of work.
Well, that's one of the things that I was concerned about, because I looked at the pictures and I thought, oh, Bar Gray looks really good, but she's got the perfect body. And my body's not perfect. And so let me see. So that's when I said, hey, I can wear this. You know, so what you just said was perfect. You know, different body sizes and shapes. You put it on and and I find, and this is why I need to talk to Kayla. Kayla Lawrence, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I find, Kayla, that when I wear Bar Gray, I just feel all put together. There's a sense of tightness. It's like it keeps my skin and my muscles, they're all together, but then I've got this, you know, the femininity about it. How do you feel in Bar Gray?
Yeah, so I love it. I first saw their stuff before I contacted them about, you know, getting in with wearing it. I saw it on other players and I liked it. I liked the skirt, you know, like the style and the fabric. It fits really good. Like the adjustable parts of the collars, the shorts are my favorite because they fit perfect and they have, you know, the right type of pockets for, you know, the scorecard holder and everything. So I love it.
Yeah, I do too, and I love the colors. And you know, no matter how much I wash it, it doesn't change.
I've noticed that too. I can at least wash and dry it, and or hang it out or whatever. Nothing has ever changed.
Yeah,
none of it.
And the collar still stands up.
Right. Yes. On the short sleeve, those collars are great, and then the collars on the sleeve shirts are great too, because you can adjust them how you want. I kind of like that style about it.
I do too. Sometimes, and that's exactly what we were talking about around the table, protecting the neck. Very delicate skin that a lot of people ignore. You know, we always worried about our face, but the skin is just as delicate on the neck. Guys, this goes for you too. Put sunscreen on your neck. Put it on your ears. Put it behind your head, you know, right there on that little place that is not protected by the collar. But the collar that has the zip up and it kind of rolls, it can go all the way up and protect your neck. Or if it's, you know, if you want to just let that, you know, if you put on a good amount of sunscreen, you can open it up and it drapes over your shoulders and just has a very, very nice feel, very nice cut to it. So, Wendy, who helps you come up with these styles?
Actually, it's both me and my partner. We just take little things that we like and put it together. I mean, we needed that sun protection when we were both playing at Pebble. We were like, we have to have this, of the collar, of having it stand up. So it's just a combination of both of us putting ideas together.
It's wonderful. Who came up with the stitching on the back of the shirts that gives you that kind of, it pulls your, makes you have a better waistline?
The ruching one?
Yes.
Actually, I think that was definitely a team effort between the both of us of like, okay, this is what we have to have. We have to have this look, and yeah, it makes your waistline seem a lot better.
Yes. It's really, really nice. And it's just, I didn't even think of it as ruching. I thought of it because of the seams are just so, it doesn't puff out. It lays flat, but it keeps everything, like it gives you a line around your waist. So it's very, very nice. I know I have to ask Kayla, go ahead. Sorry, Wendy.
Oh, I was just going to say, that took a while to get that.
That took a while. You mean
many samples.
It didn't happen over like that and one shot? No. You know, that's the thing.
No.
A lot of people don't realize, you know, that you have an idea, and everyone who's ever been on this show, and it's almost 20 years now, they talked to me about, I had this idea, and I started working in my, you know, if they've got a basement, they got a kitchen, wherever they were working. And I started, and that was like 3 years ago, and now I have this prototype. It takes time, right? Yeah.
It takes a lot of time, yeah.
And when do you, you know, when do you, are you successful? You know, when does success come into it? Does it make you feel successful inside yourself?
Are you saying to me for getting
it
correct?
I'm just wondering, you know, because you're right to ask, am I asking you? Because it's kind of more, at what point do you just keep going for it? Joe Torres was on the show, and he's made this fabulous training aid that we were talking about. And, he works on it. He hasn't sold a lot of them yet, and he's still working on it and working on it, and it's going to, and he's getting further and further into it. So he's still in the process of getting the actual aid packaged and then on market. You're past that. You're in the marketplace. I'm talking about you. I can go online to your fabulous website and I can buy product from you right now. Do you feel successful having come to this point? How much more
yes,
work?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, you do?
Well,
I mean,
and especially like having players like Kayla and a lot of the other players, it does help, and it makes us feel more successful.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that gives you that energy. If it may not be bringing in as much money as you would like it to do, because yes, we have a passion, but it also has to feed us.
Exactly.
Would be good, right?
Yes, very good.
Yeah. So there, that doesn't always come immediately. Sometimes you're just sort of treading water, and you just have to take what you get. And like you said, having Kayla Lawrence, Sumitra Tour, and champion of Connecticut Women's Open, a collegiate player who started playing golf at the age of 7. Kayla, I have to ask you about when you were playing in the Connecticut Women's Open. I was reading a story. 10-year-old Gianna Papa was playing in that event. What's it like having a 10-year-old competing in an event you want to win?
It was interesting, and I remember that, and I think there was a girl that came up to me after to congratulate, and I didn't realize, I think that was her that played in it after. I didn't know that. I thought she was just out there watching. So it's interesting because there's, you know, and especially the open events, anyone can register, you know, any woman can register, so you can get a variety of players from everywhere and different ages. So,
yeah, to me, it was like, that's interesting. You know, there's a 10-year-old, she's cute, and all the attention is on her. I want to win.
Okay.
You know, you know, you're a competitive person by nature. You have to be where you're at going into the Symetra Tour and having worked as hard at your game as you must have to be successful as a collegiate golfer. I was curious about what's it like going from the different levels, becoming great in college and then going into the professional ranks. What kinds of things do you come up against?
I mean, several, and honestly, it's a long process, especially if you play at the collegiate level. You're there for, typically 4 years playing, and I started at a community college, so I was there for 2, and then I went to Tulsa, and I was there for 3. I redshirted 1 year, I had hip surgery, and I kind of thought that would be it. And then after that, I coached for 2 years, and now I'm playing. I basically just finished my first year, technically, of playing professionally for myself. So it's just a long journey if you go about it that way, especially the way I went. I added extra time, taking a year off for a surgery and then coaching for 2 years. It's great. It's been great. I would never change anything, but it's a long road and I still have a ways to go. So I'm excited.
Are you a mom and a wife too?
I am. I'm a stepmom. I met my husband when I was at the University of Texas at El Paso, where I was coaching and getting my master's for 2 years. So I met my husband there, and we're in Florida now, but he has a son. So, yeah, I'm a stepmom, and it's awesome. We are with him as much as we can be, and we live in the same town as him, so it's great.
Oh, that is nice. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So did the coaching help your game?
Oh, absolutely. it was just such a different perspective, playing all those years straight and just getting through school and all the stress of, that college golf can add. I just felt like when I had the opportunity to be the assistant coach and get my master's, it was a great opportunity and I took it. And I got to work with a great, team for 2 years, and it gives you a totally different perspective of what it's like to not be the one actually hitting the shot. I learned a lot just about myself and some things on the golf course.
Yeah, I can kind of sense it listening to you talk about it, because like stepping back inside yourself, even in your own game, and as you watch somebody perform, you can almost then take that and begin to watch yourself rather than being so attached to the moment, the strike, the shot. It's a perspective that probably comes in useful at times in competition.
Right, it does. And I think, the biggest thing I learned was, and many golfers, I'm sure, face that, is just you can't get in your own way. And so it's so much easier to see things from outside than when you're actually in it. So I try to remind myself about that a lot. I took 2 years to do that journey and that process, and even now when I play, I still have to think back to that, because it's so easy to just, kind of get in a rut or just get ahead of yourself. So.
Yeah, getting ahead of yourself, or getting so tied up on it you can't see the leaves for the trees. It's like, whoa.
Right.
And going from college golf, where you're a team member, there's certainly a lot of competition, but you still have the team to work within. And then going becoming a professional, that must have its own challenges than being on your own.
Right. I would say, when you're playing for a college, you are told everything, like what you need to do, where you need to be. This is practice. This is when you're going to go do your schoolwork. This is when we're leaving. So you kind of just followed this schedule, and being a professional golfer now, you have to make your schedule and you have to make time for, all the things that you need to get done, and you're doing it on your own, generally without help. So I would say that's the biggest transition from college golf, where everything was kind of taken care of and you're told what to do, versus playing professionally now. You have to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. Is the competition amongst the women playing more intense?
I would say so. I mean, I think competition for me is the same, whether it's, a game of pool or on the golf course. It's all the same to me. But at this level, when we're trying to make it on, you know, the LPGA, and we're trying to move along, and we're trying to make, you know, paychecks as our living, it's different. I think it puts a different toll on you mentally, probably, you know, more than anything I'd had in college golf, just because you are trying to make this your living now. Like,
I have to earn some money. Hello.
Exactly.
Yes. And you know, I'm watching the Lydia Ko, Lexi Thompson. I haven't seen the score, but, the you know, when I started the show, they were both tied for first, and they were shooting 64, I don't know, 66. You know, low numbers on the LPGA. How do you get – do you ask yourself, how am I going to get to that number? So from my – I saw the 71-71 to win the Connecticut Women's Open. Fabulous numbers. But they're taking it to a whole nother level.
Well, any day in the 60s is a great day. I don't go out and try to shoot that low, generally, because usually when those rounds are coming, they just happen. They just happen that you're making all your putts. It just happens you're getting it close to the flag that day. I don't feel like many go out there and say they're going to shoot 65 and shoot 65. It just happens. And then when you're having a good round put together and you're going to have a low score, it will just show itself kind of at the end. For me, whenever I shoot in the 60s, it's not because I went out there and told myself I'm going to do it. I just let it happen. And generally I play better when I just do that anyway. So, I think that's what you have to do. You know, the day when I shot 71-71, those were great rounds back-to-back. But I think there was another player that was up on the leaderboard. I think she shot 79 the first day, but then she shot 66 the second day. You know, a huge turnaround, and that's great, but her first round was kind of what was the downfall. So you just, in golf, you just have to be consistent. Like, the low numbers are great, but you can stay around par and below. You'll at least be putting yourself up on the leaderboard consistently.
This is Kayla Lawrence. So bottom line is, all you can do is do the best preparation work possible. Practice, exercise, eat right, keep your mind right, and then go play and do the best you can and get into the zone whenever you can.
Absolutely.
It's so good to meet you. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for wearing Bar Gray clothing. And Wendy Gray, thank you for introducing me to Kayla. Really insightful moments. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Bar Gray clothing. You just want to go online and find them and check them out. And their new line's coming out in January. But buy what you see there, because it fits so good and it feels so right when you're on the golf course, even when you're not. And that's the beauty of these clothes. You can feel comfortable, you know, right after going to the golf course, to go to a restaurant. It's perfect, okay? Well, my name is Danielle Tucker, and I want to thank the people who make this show possible. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, for your home. Rainer Doors. And let's say you want to spiff up the house because you're going to sell it. Well, of course, everybody says paint it. You want to put a Rainer door on your door, because that will increase the value of your home more than just about anything. In fact, more than anything except painting the whole place. Futura Stone's master craftsmen, they turn buildings and warehouses and showrooms and home projects into artwork. Seriously, I've never seen anything look like marble like I saw polished concrete. What? It takes a lot of work. It's absolutely fabulous when it's done. Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year. He's a Vision 54 coach. He's at the Kahili course on Maui. He's Aimpoint certified. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Creative Plumbing. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're starting from ground up or you're going to renovate a really old building or you just need something fixed. Creative Plumbing, a building, a big one, shopping center, a little store, custom house, a townhouse, a high rise, a new build, a renovation, a repair. You get the picture. Call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right, and it is Creative Plumbing. And Alan Nakata and Associates, they are need help. You want to give them a call at 548-7526. Need help? That's right, taking care of a parent, a spouse, or a loved one with meal planning, all kinds of things. Just give them a call, 548-7526, a couple hours a week or 24/7. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. We're at RadioGolfClub.com. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2017.